Hey, tomorrow we are going to have people on who are trying to set a Guinness Book of World Record for the longest baseball game ever played. They want to play, like, for 4 days. And if Tony La Russa was managing these baseball teams, in the 4 days and the 87 innings, imagine how many pitching changes they'd have. They have at least 250 pitching changes. So that's tomorrow. We'll talk about that. They're going to have some fun over in Southern Illinois. We'll talk about that tomorrow on the show. Right now, though, we need to turn our attention to the media, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Dick Weiss, former media, former editor, I should say, of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for 30 years. He's now out on his own, and his website is weissright.com. All the news that's fit to publish online. Is that an acceptable tagline there for you?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Thanks for joining us. You're with us every Monday on the show.
I would not want to be in the press box for that 4 day.
Yes,
affair.
That would be
that
ugly.
Would be tough. Not enough hot dogs to sustain me. For that
would
one.
Be ugly.
That tilt.
And then I wonder if in that press box you can only see half the field, like the Joe Strauss Memorial press box at Bush Stadium. All right, so. There's been a lot of talk over the last few weeks in the media about how much money is being raised. Hillary Clinton far outpacing Barack Obama. Who's doing what? Who's married to who? Who's getting divorced? Who's in? Who's out? All of these types of things. What type of haircuts they're getting? How much they're being charged for their haircuts? Was it this way 30 years ago?
You know, I don't think so, but I'm sure there was always horse race commentary. Who's up, who's down, who's ahead in the polls. But the extent to which commentary is going on now regarding people's proclivities and peccadilloes, Hillary's cackle is the one that I've found particularly compelling, that people are absorbed with the way that she laughs, which right. I think it's kind of an infectious little giggle myself.
Well, I really can't.
I like it. I like the way you laugh too, McGraw. You have a nice one. Maybe you could get into politics.
I can't criticize anyone for laughing and or giggling. That's all I know.
But this has been analyzed to a fairly well, and I can't believe, first of all, it's not that interesting, but there's sometimes when you're on 24/7 on the cable, there's not a whole lot more to talk about. But there is a healthcare plan out there that Hillary Clinton has put forward, and John Edwards and others. And why aren't they looking at that? Why aren't they looking at immigration policy and what the candidates are saying about that? That should be analyzed or given at least as much attention as the Hillary cackle.
You know, I find it interesting because yesterday on Meet the Press, they had John Edwards, who's running for president. And he spent the first number of questions asking about what he would do in Iraq if he were elected president. And I don't know if it's nuanced differences from Hillary, but he's saying she wants to keep the troops in. I want to keep them on the border. And see, that's the difference. And so, okay, what are we arguing over? Are we arguing over 20 miles here? You know, I mean, is that what someone's going to make their vote on? Is 20 miles where the troops are going to be one way or the other? It seems to me like there's not a lot of things. They don't answer questions, which would then spur on debate.
I think that's true, and I think once you get into these nuances and these little nits, then maybe that's why the commentators go into the silly stuff, because
right.
there isn't a whole lot to examine. But I think on these, and also in the defense of the candidates, to say a whole lot or to go into a lot of detail about what you're going to do as president really kind of forecloses your options if you were to become the president. They just beat you up for not doing what you said you would do. So in some aspects, I think that's understandable. But if you get away from Iraq and the particulars of foreign policy, there are so many other things that you can talk about that really mean a lot to Americans about their health care and their prescription drugs and how much whether their kids are going to be covered or not.
Right.
It just doesn't get discussed.
It also seems we are still over a year away from the general election, and January is the first primary, right? The end of January is still the first primary.
Something like that.
So we're still a good 3-4 months away from all this still ratcheting up, and yet they've been on the campaign trail for a year.
Right.
So, I'm with you. But again, I'd like to be a candidate where every bus stop, every whistle stop, same speech every single day.
Yes. Well, I give a lot of speeches myself, and I never get tired of hearing myself talk. So, you know, I think they're probably used to it.
What do you make of this Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh, taking things out of context and running with it?
You know, I would never want to express any degree of sympathy for either one of those particular characters. But in this case, I'm really not outraged by the things that they said initially.
Right.
I guess what I am a little peeved about is that after people push back, which I don't really think that they had much of a case, then they get uber outraged and they make a big deal out of it, and it becomes an opportunity for them to draw even more listeners or readers or what have you. And to have Congress take its time to issue a censure or whatever it was is just incredibly dumb, in my view.
On Congress's part or...
On Congress's
part. Right,
I mean, why bother with these people? These people are, at best, clowns, in my view.
Right, okay.
They're entertainers.
They're caractures of themselves now. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's a valid point, but it is a $64,000 question. Why would Harry Reid stand up on the floor of the Senate and mention anything to do with either of these two? Not. And I'm not critical of what they do. I'm just saying, you know, you have really important work to do. What are you doing?
And Harry is doing them a huge favor.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I have never quite understood it myself.
And we're doing them a huge favor by talking about it, I guess. But there you go.
Well, what's the... now, we have talked about websites on the air. And there's a website which I'm dying to get to. But it's a paid... I'm the one saying the post should go to a paid online subscription.
Mm-hmm.
The Omaha World Herald, you have to pay to get some. It's like a time select thing that they have on their website, right? And that they keep all the Nebraska football news wrapped up. You can get.
I was wondering what is it possibly could they have in Omaha that we would want to pay for.
But so it's that, and it's $35 for the year, or whatever it is. So it's a nominal fee. Certainly, I can afford it. Mm-hmm. But it's just something about I'm going to try and get it somewhere else for free. As opposed to pay my $35, and yet you have found that there's an ongoing conversation about how to handle websites and newspapers.
Right, and really, if you want to get a real sense of what the brave new world is going to be like, Sunday paper, Monday paper. There's a series that began. It's called Reporting for Duty, a story written by Phil O'Connor, photographed, videographed by. David Carson, and they spent they went through basic training with troops down at Fort Leonard Wood, and the traditional part of it is it's an article in the Post-Dispatch, and it's at a 2-page spread inside, but it really in some ways is kind of a come on to the reader. It says come on into our website where you can get you can actually go to Fort Leonard Wood and see and hear and almost feel what it's like to be a young recruit going through basic training. And there's some marvelous video there, and you can participate. That's the other part of this that newspaper companies, I should say media companies, are getting into. You can send accounts of your own experiences if you went through basic training, photographs of your son or daughter who's going through basic training, your own comments about the articles or anything else you want. And what media companies are trying to do is essentially create communities online that you can feel a part of, and they feel that they'll get a lot of readers that way. Now, the problem for media companies is that anybody can do this. Used to be if you owned a $20 million printing press, you were kind of the only guy who could play.
Right.
But everybody can get online. Everybody can do YouTube. Everybody can create their own site. The advantage that the Post-Dispatch has is that they're a brand. People know who they are, what they are. They have a certain degree of credibility, and so they have they're ahead in the first inning,
right?
In that sense, but it's a long ball game. I don't know if it's 4 days worth, but it's a long ball game.
So when a reporter goes out, they bring out a photographer and a cameraman.
Yeah, well, in this case, I believe it's one guy who's handling both.
Good thing driving
because,
the car.
You know, the resources are getting a little thin. They can only afford so much. But you remember the Al Franken character on Saturday Night Live, the guy who was equipped with the satellite dish
on
his back.
Right.
And it's going to be sort of like that.
But you know, it's an interesting point about the video. Because if you have video, that trumps anything else. The video of the kid who was pulled over by the police officer in St. George.
Right.
That's a one-man band. He basically created his own news story out of that.
Right.
Put it on the website. It got distribution, maybe because it was picked up by a couple of TV stations and the newspaper, and we talked about it here. But that guy became an overnight sensation. I don't see him necessarily doing more of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the Post is where you go. Everyone, you have to go somewhere.
Right.
Everyone's got to go. Everybody has to go to one place.
Well, they don't have to, but they will tend to congregate in certain places. And, you know, the Post-Dispatch can be that place. If you want your 5 minutes of fame, like this young man did, and you're not going to necessarily make a living off of it, the Post-Dispatch is a great place to go. But you can also go to Matt Drudge. You can go all over the place in St. Louis or around the world if you want.
Right.
And that's where the Post-Dispatch has to compete, and that's where they won't be able to have the monopoly on the money that they used to have. But if they want to stay in the game, they want to be vibrant and compelling, this is kind of the way they're going about it.
I do know, though, last week when news started to leak out about Walt Jocketty being fired, I know our websites took massive hits.
Right.
I'm sure the Post-Dispatch websites took massive hits.
I think they claim to put it first on their website, Post-Dispatch.
Okay.
I don't know if that's the case.
I don't know either, but I do know people looking for information.
Right.
Since we're the Cardinal station, came looking for information. I actually heard the news conference on the KTRS website. I was at Blackberry Cafe over in Clayton, and there was no radio, so somebody had a laptop, and I sort of commandeered their laptop and went to the website.
And increasingly, it's going to be... Basically, news is going to be arranged for your phone. And, of course, your phone is not just a phone. It's a little media machine.
Right.
And so people will... I got a little BlackBerry here I just bought, and I can go find out right away. And so the news is going to have to be configured for little devices that are, 6 inches by 2 inches.
But at some point, you're going to have to start paying for that information.
Somebody somewhere along the line is going to have to pay the freight.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah,
and it may not be the user. It may be the advertiser.
Yeah, or somebody. Well, but then you also get into if the advertiser's paying, then you certainly, let's say a bad story comes up about advertiser ABC, right, who is sponsoring that hour of webcam. Guess what? He's going to say, some CEOs gonna say, why am I paying for this if you're skewering me every other day?
And so hopefully you have enough advertisers, so if one goes away, you've got another one. If Schnars Hardware goes away, you still got Window World.
Schnars Hardware goes away, we're just packing it all in. There we go. All right, what's the best story we've never read?
Well, put yourself in the position of you got a family, and you come home one day and you say, I've got an idea. And I'm going to win the Nobel Peace Prize with this idea. The only thing, honey, is that I need to quit my job and not support you in the style in which you've become accustomed. And this is essentially what went on with a guy by the name of Henke in Baltimore. His name's Robert Henke, and he basically had an idea to create a device, a probe that would... predict how soil will react in the event of a major earthquake. And if he's able to pull this off, he would probably win the Nobel Peace Prize. Well, he's been at it for 25 years. He has spent $2 million on it, $1 million of his mom's money, and so far, not so good. And he has lost his wife over it. He's lost his home. He's living in a little apartment with boxes, and he still will not go get the day job to get back on his financial feet. His son is facing prison partly because his dad was ignoring him. And this is like an Ahab, Moby Dick kind of pursuit that he will not give up. And it's a terrific story in the Baltimore Sun by a reporter by the name of Gotti Dechter. I recommend anybody who has ever had an obsession read this story.
And so 25 years later, he's still looking for that.
He's still working at it.
And tests have shown that this probe in the earth doesn't do anything.
Well, not yet. He feels like he's getting close, and there's some every so often he gets somebody who believes in it, and he gets a little grant to keep it going. But so far, it hasn't panned out. If it does, all of us here will owe him a debt. Our insurance rates will drop a terrific amount because they will know which soil will stand up in an earthquake and which soil won't. You'll know where to build and what construction materials to use. And so, hey, you'll want to send him a dollar after you read this story.
Is he a biologist or a scientist?
Wouldn't
necessarily be a biologist.
He's well-educated, a former John Hopkins engineering professor, and he knows his stuff.
Right.
There's no question about that. And he could get a job. He could get a really decent day job for a six-figure income, but he won't because it's beneath him because he's working on this thing that will save mankind.
That's one of the best stories you've never read. Go to weissright.com. He's in the Baltimore Sun. What a fascinating story. All right. We talk to him every Monday. He's Dick Weiss. Thanks for stopping in. Don't forget your website, weissright.com. You can get that story as well as all the others. Anything else we need to know? Any woodshops? Any what am I trying to say here? Any symposiums you're hosting or anything? Nothing to
see,
press on.
Well, everybody ought to be looking at the website of the Press Club, stlpressclub.org, because there's a big dinner for Joe Buck coming up.
Oh, all right.
And that's going to be in, I think, early December. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I love Joe Buck.
Sign up for that. We'll talk about that later.
All right, that's Dick Weiss. I'll talk to him every Monday, 11:25, Big 550 KTRS.